Well, hello, this is Bob Sutherland from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from a number of sources. The Triangle Business Journal, the business section of the Raleigh News and Observer, Reuters, Bloomberg. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They've served our community so well since 1974 and can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. Well, the stock market was down 13 points yesterday, 1302 to be exact, close at 25,806.63. The S&P 500 was down 3.16 to close at 27,89.65. Well, Duke Energy disputes the coal ash operations report. Duke Energy's Allen Steam Station in Gaston County ranks second among the more than 200 U.S. power plants for toxic coal ash polluting nearby groundwater. That's according to a study released this week by environmental groups. At the Allen plant on Lake Wylie, coal ash storage sites have polluted groundwater with 9 contaminants, including arsenic, cobalt, and lithium at levels exceeding federal safety standards, the report did say. The findings released by the Environmental Integrity Project and Earth Justice are based on data that became publicly available for the first time last year because of federal regulations. But the report's authors acknowledge that they could not determine the safety of drinking water near the ash sites they analyzed. That's because power companies are not required to test private water wells, the report said. Charlotte Blaise Duke pushed back on the findings, accusing the environmental groups of cherry-picking data in an attempt to advance a misleading narrative and extreme agenda. The report does not share new information regarding our operations, despite how some may characterize it, so said spokeswoman Paige Sheehan. She goes on to say, very importantly, people and the environment, including drinking water around our facilities, remains well protected from our operations. Duke is also well down the path toward closing ash storage sites in North Carolina. Well, a judge clears the way for the AT&T-Time Warner merger. The federal government on Tuesday lost its second court challenge to AT&T's $85.4 billion merger with Time Warner. That's a blockbuster deal that has already begun to reshape much of the media industry. A 3-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals from the District of Columbia rejected the government's claim that a lower court had applied antitrust laws incorrectly in allowing the merger to proceed. Justice Department lawyers have argued that the combination of the two companies would reduce competition and hurt consumers. The government's objections that the district court misunderstood and misapplied economic principles and clearly erred in rejecting the quantitative model are unpersuasive, Judge Judith W. Roberts wrote on behalf of the panel. Well, Treasury acts to avoid exceeding the $22 trillion debt limit. The Treasury Department is taking the first steps to keep the government from exceeding the $22 trillion debt limit that goes back into effect Saturday, setting off what will likely be months of battle in Congress. Treasury said that it began Friday suspending sales of a special type of Treasury security used by state and local governments to help manage their bond holdings. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said last week that the government would start with the sale suspension as a way to clear space to keep the government from exceeding the limit while Congress debates raising it. Well, U.S. consumer spending falls sharp, 0.5%, tumbled in December, the biggest decline in 9 years as the holiday shopping season ended in disappointment. Meanwhile, incomes rose sharply in December but edged down in January. The fall in consumer spending followed sizable gains of 0.7% in October and 0.6% in November, the Commerce Department reported Friday. December's results means that spending for the quarter decelerated significantly, a primary factor in the slowing of overall economy in the final 3 months of the year. And U.S. manufacturing grew at slower pace in February. American manufacturers expanded at a slower rate in February as the pace of new orders, production, and employment each slipped. The Institute for Supply Management, an association of purchasing managers, said Friday that its manufacturing index fell to 54.2 last month, down from 56.6 in January. Readings above 50 signal growth in manufacturing in the sector has been expanding for the past 30 months. The decline might have reflected the colder weather in February, as well as a short month, so said Tim Fiore, chairman of the ISM Manufacturing Business Survey Committee. Walmart to make an effort to keep their disabled greeters. After more than a week of backlash, Walmart is pledging to make every effort to find other roles for disabled workers who'd accuse the retailer of targeting them as it prepares to eliminate the people greeter job at 1,000 stores. Now, Greg Foran, president and CEO of Walmart's U.S. stores, said in a memo to store managers Thursday night that, quote, we are taking some specific steps to support greeters with disabilities, unquote. Walmart released the memo publicly, and Walmart told greeters around the country last week that their positions were being eliminated in late April in favor of an expanded customer host role that involves not only welcoming customers, but helping with returns, checking receipts to help prevent shoplifting, and keeping the front of the store clean. The position requires hosts to be able to lift heavy weights, climb ladders, and do other tasks. People with disability, who have traditionally filled the greeter job at many stores, accuse Walmart of acting heartlessly. Outraged customers and others started online petitions, formed Facebook group support groups, and called and emailed Walmart to register their displeasure. Well, HQ Raleigh picks renovated Gateway Plaza for expansion. The rejuvenation of Gateway Plaza Shopping Center off Capitol Boulevard is getting a big shot in the arm. HQ Raleigh, that's the name of the company, the city's largest co-working operator and startup hub, will become the shopping center's anchor tenant, with a new space planned to open there this summer, Lodin Properties said on Monday. The new HQ Raleigh space, which will be called HQ at Gateway, will take up 20,000 square feet of the nearly 80,000 square foot shopping center. Beyond flexible office space, it will include a 150-person event space and a 50-person classroom. We're thrilled to add this exciting new project to HQ Raleigh's portfolio of community spaces, HQ Raleigh founding partner Jason Wyden said in a statement. The unique space allows us to accommodate larger teams of up to 60 employees, as well as support entrepreneurs coming in from other parts of the city who need ample parking and convenience. Well, out of Pittsburgh and from the Associated Press, companies testing autonomous vehicles in Pittsburgh will have to immediately report crashes resulting in any injuries as part of new guidelines announced Monday, intended to boost public confidence in the testing after a deadly accident in Arizona last year. Karina Ricks, director of the city's Department of Mobility and Infrastructure, said the city was working on guidelines before the March 18 accident in Tempe, when one of Uber's autonomous test vehicles hit and killed a pedestrian as she crossed a dark road outside of the lines of the crosswalk. The Tempe incident raised the urgency for the guidelines. The Pittsburgh guidelines were included in an executive order signed by Mayor Bill Peduto on Monday. He goes on to say, we don't want that situation to happen again. Said Raj Kumar, professor and director of the General Motors Carnegie Mellon Vehicular Information Technology Collaborative Report Lab. That's a long one. Another accident would cause a social backlash, he said, adding that he hopes guidelines such as those adopted by Pittsburgh and the testing companies will help alleviate public concerns. Well, wake endoscopy, or endoscopy, never have known which correct pronunciation. Our independence means lower health care cost. And it goes on with the recent acquisition of Wilson Digestive Disease and Endoscopy Center. Wake Endoscopy holds the title of the largest independent gastrointestinal practice in the Triangle. That independence is important to its executives, who say in an environment where more and more practices are taking office from major healthcare systems, they see independent operation as the key to maintaining low cost that brings patients through their doors. While the owners are confident of their strategy, only time will tell whether the fight for patients against the big healthcare systems would actually result in a thriving independent structure. For now, it's not stopping Wake Endoscopy from expanding. The unit is part of Raleigh Medical Group, a 35-physician independent practice, and the practice is also part of the Independent Physician Association, Key Physicians IPA. According to internal company data, Wake Endoscopy has averaged 10,000 procedures annually since 2013, reporting more than 13,000 procedures in 2018. The company anticipates as much as 16,000 in 2019, and those procedures resulted in roughly $30 million in revenue last year, reportedly double what they brought just 5 years ago. Well, Raleigh is going to ask RDU, that's Raleigh-Durham International Airport, they're going to ask for FAA clarification on the Wakestone lease. Amid a crowd peppered with Save RDU Forest signs, Raleigh City Councilman David Cox made a motion for the city to ask the Raleigh-Durham International Airport to reconsider its decision to lease land to Wakestone Corporation for a quarry, and to get clarification from the FAA on its own abilities to offer input. But not so fast, said Robin Tatum Curry, city attorney, before the city council could vote. Cox notes in making his motion that the city was not contacted for input about the lease decision. He requests that RDU Airport Authority be asked to reconsider its vote so that effective local governments will have the opportunity to weigh in. But Curry says conflicting opinions are mounting as to whether the public sponsors of the airport, including the city of Raleigh, have the right to have that kind of input. You don't have any authority to stop it or change it, she says, noting that if FAA says otherwise, the city council can rethink its stance. There's nothing illegal about stating an opinion or making any sort of request. If this motion passes, it will be nothing more than a request which can be ignored legally. Based on what we know, there is certainly no veto power. There would be nothing more than a political opinion. Well, average rents in downtown Durham surpass Raleigh growth. Two of the top five hottest submarkets in the area over the last 3 months are in Durham. That's according to statistics released this week by ApartmentData.com. The Crowsdale, Northgate, Wellens Village submarket, one of 22 evaluated, came in ranked number one with a monthly rental rate of $1.01 per square foot and an annualized growth percentage of 12.4%, the absorption rate for the area jumped to 1.5%. Buoyed by high demand, the downtown Durham Duke University area clocked in at number 5 with a monthly rental rate of $1.53 a foot and an annualized growth percentage of 19.9%, making it the most expensive rental market among hot subdivisions in the Triangle. Now, two Raleigh submarkets that make the top 10 have a wide disparity of annualized growth. The North Raleigh, Six Forks Road, Falls of New submarket, number 6 on the list, has an annualized growth rate of 8.1%, while the downtown Raleigh, East Raleigh submarket, number 8, has a negative 4.7% annualized growth rate over the last 3 months. All the other hottest submarkets above it had positive annualized growth. Well, Go Triangle, that's capital G-O, and then Triangle, Go Triangle, asked Duke to reconsider pulling support from the light rail. Days after Duke University pulled its support for the light rail project, Go Triangle is asking it to reconsider. In a four-page response to the university, Go Triangle General Manager Jeff Mann urges for more time. He says, "Your letter indicates that additional time is needed to address your concerns," he writes. "We invite you to enter into mediated negotiations together over the next 4 to 6 weeks to resolve remaining issues. You have our personal pledge that Go Triangle and its staff will be available to support these decisions. Noting that together we can be a force for even greater good," he outlines counterpoints to the concerns raised in Duke's letter, such as the university's fears that electromagnetic interference might interfere with sensitive equipment. While he notes the university does not believe light rail will result in a problem, he notes that if it does, Go Triangle is committed to funding and implementing all appropriate mitigation measures. Please know that Go Triangle agrees that patient safety is the highest priority, he adds. Of the potential for vibration, he claims it's the agency's belief that light rail's operation will have fewer effects than the construction of other large-scale projects in the area. Mann also criticizes Duke's timing, noting that the university never submitted comments during the environmental impact statement process, which would have been the most appropriate time to raise the issues noted in your February 27th letter. The lack of cooperative agreement with Duke creates significant challenges for the light rail project, effectively nullifying 2 decades worth of work, Mann writes. Well, while we are talking about Duke University, an extra $50 million in Duke University's coffers will go toward the recruitment of more than a dozen new faculty members and research scientists as the university looks to bolster both its instructional and research capabilities. This week, the university announced the receipt of a $50 million grant from the Duke Endowment, a namesake but separate private foundation based in Charlotte. "At the most important moments in the university's history, we have benefited from the support and guidance of the Duke Endowment," stated Duke President Vincent Price. He goes on to say, "Today is no different. This transformational grant will allow us to recruit the brightest and boldest thinkers and provide them with the infrastructure they need to solve the world's most pressing challenges. We are so very grateful to the Duke Endowment and look forward to all that we can accomplish together in the years ahead." The new hires will be junior to senior level faculty in fields of science, medicine, technology, and engineering and math. According to the announcement, Duke will begin its hiring efforts immediately and expects to be complete within 3 years. According to Duke officials, the hiring will not only benefit Duke, but bring additional research and clinical opportunities to Duke and its patients. Well, Blue Cross Blue Shield, North Carolina Foundation, names a new president following the departure of longtime President Kathy Higgins. The Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina Foundation has a new president. On Wednesday, the foundation officially announced the appointment of Dr. John Lumpkin as its next president, effective April 22. Lumpkin most recently was a senior vice president of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Prior to that, he serves as the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health for 12 years. We are thrilled to have John Lumpkin lead the Blue Cross North Carolina Foundation, stated Dr. Patrick Conway, CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield North Carolina and chairman of the foundation. He goes on to say, a barrier breaker and nationally renowned leader in the healthcare field with significant state and community-based expertise. He has the experience and passion to lead the Blue Cross North Carolina Foundation's work to improve the health and well-being of North Carolinians. Lumpkin earned his medical degree from Northwestern and his Master of Public Health from the University of Illinois. He was the first African-American trained in emergency medicine in the country after completing his residency at the University of Chicago. He also served on the faculty of the University of Chicago, Northwestern, and the University of Illinois. The long-planned $12.5 million Moore Square project here in Raleigh is nearly finished, albeit with a few unplanned expenses. On Tuesday, Raleigh City Council received an update that the project is 75% complete and is expected to be finished by the end of July. We see this as being a downtown destination, said Stephen Bentley, Assistant Director of Parks and Recreation, as he told the City Council, pointing to the new cafe, interactive water feature, treehouse, and civic plaza as highlights of the plan. The city is nearing end stage negotiation with Empire Foods for the cafe's vendor contact, Bentley says. But it's run into infrastructure snags, primarily due to the age of the historic plaza. Infrastructure, from the aging stormwater drains to the old sidewalks, is being replaced, and that's led to the discovery of a lot of utility and tree conflicts, forcing the elevation of curbs. But the biggest issue is a utility vault built by the City of Raleigh for Progress Energy in 87. It used to be above ground, but the Raleigh-owned vault was placed underneath the ground and not upgraded. Bentley said the city thought it met vehicle requirements, but was mistaken. Well, UNC Rex and Wake Radiology create a joint venture to combine imaging services. UNC Rex and Wake have inked a deal to create a joint venture for imaging services in the Triangle, making the bet that wider access and lower cost will bring more patients through that doors. The two organizations signed an agreement to combine their outpatient imaging services. Services to be offered by the joint venture include MRIs, CT scans, X-rays, and ultrasounds, as well as other advanced technology such as 3D mammography to detect breast cancer. Leaders of the organizations tout increased access and reduced cost of care by combining the services. According to a release announcing the partnership Monday, the venture is expected to reduce almost $7 million from the UNC's revenue stream and in turn result in patient savings, University of North Carolina officials say. These savings are to come from shifting imaging services out of the hospital settings, drastically reducing hospital-based fees. Financial details of the partnership have not been disclosed. Well, a Raleigh-based dog treat startup is headed for ABC's Shark Tank. As a matter of fact, as we read this, their appearance on that program has already been viewed by most of us, I guess you might say. Zookie's Cookies, which sells organic dog treat mixes with flavors such as coconut and peanut barker, they entered the tank, the Shark Tank, on March the 3rd. It's been a long, tortuous journey of keeping my mouth closed, said Justin Miller, co-founder and chief product. That's Paul, P-A-W, Duck, D-U-C-T, Paul Duck Officer. Miller says it's been a surreal journey when he and co-founder Tom Simon, whose Source 3 was sold to Facebook, were first talking about the idea 2 years ago. Miller couldn't help saying this would be the perfect Shark Tank product, he recalls. Last September, in a hotel room getting ready to pitch in L.A., Miller looked at Simon and said, "We're really here." It's not Miller's first introduction to the show's investors. Barbara Corcoran's company invested in his last firm, Wedpix, which raised more than $12 million before being sold in 2017. But Miller says Corcoran didn't help get him on the show or know about the appearance. There is no way to use any kind of connection or anything. These people truly have no idea when you walk into the tank who you are. Instead, he says he was introduced to somebody who knew somebody and after several mails made a connection to the casting producer. Well, property owners of a block of aging buildings next to Raleigh's New Union Station and the Dillon Tower want to redevelop the site with buildings up to 20 stories tall. Included among the properties that could be redeveloped are the Contemporary Art Museum of Raleigh building and HQ Raleigh, according to a rezoning request filed with the city. Museum officials say they are partnering with their neighbors to ask the city for more density on the block, which would clear the way for a large redevelopment project. The property owners recognize the sum as much greater than the parts of our block from a future development standpoint. That's CAM Raleigh Executive Director Gab Smith writes in an email. The museum has no intention of leaving, she adds. The same holds true for HQ Raleigh. We are 100% committed to HQ and CAM remaining at the location, as are both of them. Centerline Digital CEO Charles Long writes in an email. Long owns property on the block as well. The property's total 1.9 acres south of West Martin and west of South Harrington. The landowners are working with S9 Architecture of New York City to draft conceptual plans for the site, and the company works on large urban developments across the company. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I do hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Bob Sutherland, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired, and the broadcast is available as a podcast on our website, TriangleReadingService.org. If you have any questions, please call us at 919-832-5138.